Well, good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
There's a reality television show franchise in the United States with 24 international versions of the show. The program originally aired in 2004 on NBC and was called The Apprentice. The domestic U.S. version of The Apprentice was the first version of the reality show franchise. It was marketed as the ultimate job interview. The show was centered around a group of 15 to 18 businessmen and women competing in an elimination competition for 1 year to run the real estate of the billionaire and now President of the United States, Donald Trump's companies. The show led Donald J. Trump to become known for his fateful catchphrase, "You fired." At the end of the season and selection process, he would say to the winner, "You're hired." This is what an apprentice is: a person who works for another in order to learn a trade, an apprentice to a plumber, journeyman in a trade, or you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. A person legally bound through contract or agreement to a master craftsman in order to learn a trade. They become a productive producer. The Apprentice TV program was set up like this. 15 to 18 contestants start off in two teams. Each week, the teams would select the project leader to be in charge of the task assigned by Mr. Trump. The project's leader would need to inspire and to lead their team in any number of business projects. At the end of the project, the team would meet with Mr. Trump in his boardroom. The teams would be judged to either be a winner or a loser, and someone was going to get fired. The winning team was allowed to go upstairs in a suite in Trump Tower. They were to be rewarded with food, champagne, and other refreshments. The losing team would stay in the boardroom because someone had to be fired. At the end of the season, teams would be whittled down to two final contestants for a final deciding project. The single winner would become the apprentice and would work with Mr. Trump on a project or a number of business issues. The winner did not become the leader of Trump organization. They became a student of Mr. Trump, who would train and work with them. In essence, the apprentice wanted to be like Mr. Trump and to please him. Now let's think about it. How does the Bible look at the idea of becoming an apprentice? In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul had Timothy as his apprentice. In the Old Testament, we see Prophet Elijah had Elisha, and Moses worked with Joshua. In the New Testament, we find Jesus teaching leadership to take his place. But we find Jesus Christ teaching about becoming a disciple of him. What does it mean to be a disciple or apprentice for Jesus Christ? Jesus provided this instruction to his followers. You don't have to turn here, but in Matthew 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." A biblically defined disciple is someone who has fully surrendered themselves to God and to Jesus Christ, and who has set about on them on an active course of personal training. We as Christians put ourselves under the schooling of pastors, of elders, and of teachers. We learn from each other, brethren. Christians are under a watchful eye and care of Jesus Christ, who is their master. Now, Christ called 12 individuals who were called to a lifelong job of becoming a disciple. These 12 men became apostles, and they in turn taught other disciples as they followed this teaching from Jesus Christ to go out and to make disciples and spread the word of God. There are a number of lessons for us to learn about becoming a disciple. To teach someone else to be a disciple, we must first become a disciple ourselves. A disciple of Jesus Christ is assisted in learning by the Holy Spirit and is recognized by their belief and practice of that belief. In the fullness of time, the disciple student may become a reflection of our Heavenly Father. Disciples of Jesus seek and nurture a direct spiritual relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. A disciple's goal is to continuously and fully have conscious contact with God that grows daily. The Christian disciple will commit themselves to becoming a learning believer, growing more and more each day in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Jesus outlines in the 14th chapter of Luke, a person who wants to be a disciple puts his spiritual relationship with God and Jesus first. A person who puts his spiritual relationship with God and Jesus first reflects the first and the greatest commandment that echoes throughout the entire Bible from one end to the other. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your entire mind and strength. Matthew 22, verse 37. Also in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words describes a disciple as not only a pupil, but an adherent, imitators of their teacher. Disciples do not simply acquire knowledge from their teacher. Rather, they learn to be like him. Paul, a disciple of Christ, urged the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We must always remember that we are to be imitators of God and His holiness, and not imitators of man's unholy and their false customs and beliefs. Becoming a disciple or apprentice to someone who is teaching us a trade, profession, or skill requires a humble attitude to follow where the master leads. To be a disciple of God and a disciple of Jesus Christ will require that we have a measure of humility. We should be willing to accept advice and training and allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us in order to learn and inherit the things of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ expected his disciples to take on meekness and gentleness. In Matthew 10, verse 24, Jesus said, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Matthew 5, verse 5. You don't have to turn there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Brethren, Jesus taught his 12 disciples, and at the end of his physical life, just before his death, they came to a point where they were arguing over who would be the greatest within the kingdom of God. And Christ had to show them that they must take on the attitude of a servant. It was similar to losing team fighting in Mr. Trump's boardroom. Everyone wanted to have a better position in the team at the expense of someone else. A practical application of being humble and what it takes to be a shepherd and disciple. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 10, Peter talks about what it means to be a shepherd and a disciple. To be a shepherd who does not lord over it, over those who are entrusted to him, is the real and end result of becoming a disciple. Peter said, lord over it, over those entrusted to one's care. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over those who, over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And in the grace of knowledge, and the God of grace, of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Brethren, a disciple must have humility. Without it, we're not going to have the mindset to learn. Disciple is a word that defines followers of Christ in Scripture. It is used 299 times in the New Testament. Being a disciple is the fundamental core of having the prized relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in Luke 14, verse 27, which you don't have to turn there, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Those who accept the invitation of Jesus would need to bear their own cross, not to piggyback on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We learn from Christ how to bear our own personal challenges as we all follow in his steps. The Apostle Paul summarized it in this way, Galatians 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Discipleship means we have to give up and surrender our own personality flaws and attitudes, and to become just like Jesus Christ. Discipleship is not an escape. Discipleship may mean hardship. Discipleship may mean sacrifice. Discipleship may mean having to endure persecution for our beliefs. Adopting higher God standards and giving up acquired beliefs and friendships with the world. In John 17, verse 16, Jesus says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Jesus tells prospective disciples in Luke 14, verse 28 through 30, which you don't have to turn, to count the cost of the weighty choice of becoming Christian. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Jesus Christ gave us one of his longest and most important parables in Matthew chapter 13, verse 2 through 8. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. The first example shows us some seed falling on the hard path and getting eaten by birds. The prospective disciple never gets a chance to grow. They are a first-round person who gets fired immediately and never gets a chance to participate in the apprentice process. The well-worn hard path between towns and farms running next to the fields were compressed by the passing of many feet, hooves, and carts onto paths of hard-packed dirt, unable to receive the seed. This person is a non-starter. The second example shows us seed sown in soil with lots of rocks, where the plant emerged but soon withered when the weather turned hot and dry. The disciple gets off to a good, encouraging, quick start. They make it through a few rounds of Christian living, but when the Christian lifestyle gets to be uncomfortable or less interesting, the disciple loses interest and, because of poor performance, gets fired or quits. Stony ground has soil, but it isn't good enough for seed to germinate and put down deep roots. The stones block roots growth, preventing plants from growing roots large enough to support much fruit. The plant cannot get any nourishment. As Christ said, anything that begins to grow in a stony soil lacks a deep root system and quickly withers and dies from the heat. It produces no fruit. The third example shows seeds scattered among thorns, where the good plant is eventually choked out by thick weed. The disciple starts to grow and avoid elimination. They really want to overcome and participate as a Christian. But outside influences, brethren, start to push and overwhelm them and eventually take away the disciples' ability to participate. Thorns and weeds can grow just about anywhere: poor soil, rocky soil, and in good soil. An unintended garden will eventually be full of weeds and crabgrass, virtually becoming a weed patch, unfit for a garden and growth of good fruit. The final example shows seeds sown into good soil producing anywhere from 30 to 100 times increase. Jesus mentioned the seed falling on good ground and would produce good fruit. The garden can overcome bad weather, too little or too much rain, cold or heat, because there is good soil that is properly fertilized and balanced with the right amount of nutrients. The seed can germinate and put down deep roots, thus producing multiple quantities of fruit. Right now, brethren, you all are holding the bag of seed in your hand or lap as you read these words in your Bible. The word of the kingdom of God is being sown in your lives, brethren, to become a productive disciple. The question to example from the parable is, what quality of soil is your life in? Has life been packed down hard by your personal journey? Is it full of rocks and stones? Does God's truth need to compete with thorns of falsehoods that choke the life out of the good fruit you produce? The parable shows us how the devil, working against us in the boardroom of life, conspires to choke from our lives the eternal truths of the kingdom of God and eliminate us from becoming disciples. In conclusion, brethren, a disciple makes a first priority to have a relationship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. God continually sows the seeds of the kingdom today. It falls on all kinds of soil. Consider your heart whether you can allow that seed to put down root and to begin to change your life now, in preparation for the coming kingdom to which He is calling us. The Bible gives examples of those learning a trade or skill and would represent the master after a certain amount of time. Our apprenticeship is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't find Jesus' teachings leadership to take his place, but we find Jesus Christ's teachings about becoming a disciple. Paul urged the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, to imitate himself just as he also imitated Christ. A disciple is a follower, adherent, student, who is will and is able to be taught and converted. Brethren, the seeds of the kingdom of God and his eternal kingdom are spread before you to make good use of them. Regardless of our status, the team that we are on, or the tasks given to us, we need to understand Christ's message. Be humble and commit to the kingdom of God as good disciples. Being called to a discipleship of Jesus Christ is the ultimate job interview. When we're in the kingdom, let's strive to hear the words, "You're hired," and not "You're fired."